If you have a Bible, I'd encourage you to turn to Mark 12. If you want a Bible, raise your hand and I'm sure someone will get one to you. So Mark 12, and we've come to the end of this chapter. We've been through looking at the parable, the tax, the marriage, the greatest commandments, and then Jesus still being in the temple court, still engaging in conversation, still looking around, has this to say from verse 35. While Jesus was teaching in the temple courts, he asked, "Why do the teachers of the law say that the Messiah is the son of David? David himself, speaking by the Holy Spirit, declared, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' David himself calls him Lord. How then can he be his son?" The large crowd listens to him with delight. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplace, and have the most important seats in the synagogues and places of honor at the banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely." Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. The poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few pence. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Let's pray. Oh Lord God, I pray that your words through your Spirit would teach us, would empower us, would transform us, would call us to a life of following you. And I pray for this next period of time that we might reflect, that we might hear and listen, and that we might respond to your Spirit's prompting. Amen. So three little bits of a story all have a connection. The first one from 35 to 37 is a confusing one. And I've got books written on it, what on earth it was all about. But really, I guess the nub of it is who is Jesus? Who's his identity? Pointing back to David and pointing to Jesus being the Son of God. Although the Psalm's a bit confusing, although the context and the passage is not simple to understand. Then we have a continuation from verse 38, where Jesus is talking to those in authority, those who are teaching the law. Then we have this interaction, or not even an interaction, this watching of someone. And three of them are connected. I want to focus mainly on the watching. I love that phrase. It really struck me this week. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd. Just really struck me. The teachers of the law and everyone else was sorting money out, was getting busy, was doing what the rituals were saying, but Jesus sat himself down and watched. That must have been quite strange. Jesus was a rabbi, respected. He was talking, he was chatting to people, he was teaching. And then he sat down and watched the crowd. What was he watching for? We hear the story, he saw this widow and he saw the offering, and then this widow goes down in history. We're talking about 2 years later, this woman who put in this offering, and we're reflecting about her actions 2,000 years later. I wonder who you're watching. Maybe it's not where you expected the sermon to go this morning. But who are you watching? Are you able to step back? Jesus seemed to step back and look around him and watch what was going on. Jesus was able to see what God wanted him to see. In all the busyness and the hubbub of those interactions around the temple, this was the outer temple court, this was busy, this is where women and everyone could go, and the further you get in, the more sort of limited and male you had to be to get in there. But this was the outer court, everyone could be here, and Jesus was watching the hubbub. This was a busy place. Who are you watching? A few weeks ago at the Eco Festival, I had the pleasure of standing out the front with Bismarck giving out toilet rolls to people. Eco toilet rolls, if you don't know the connection. We got chatting to this guy who was obviously in a bit of a rush. And we were talking to him, and it seemed from his body language he really wasn't that interested in what we had to say. So we shoved a tenner in our hands. He gave us £10 and said, "There you go, you're obviously wanting something." And then he walked off on his way. It's really interesting. We didn't ask him for any money. We just wanted a conversation. But he seemed to tell us something about that person, and maybe something, if you think about something about our village or our affluence, that actually this interaction with this man, his way of dealing with it was to give us a tenner so that we'd go away. It's hard to know the full context of what he was thinking at the time. But stepping back and thinking about that, well, why was that? Why was he unwilling to talk with us? Was it because we were outside the church? Was it because he couldn't be bothered and he was busy with his task? Was it because he generally wanted to give 10 quid to the church? There's so many things we don't know, but there's something there, isn't there? Jesus saw people around him and was able to think. He was able to see that woman's heart, able to know and understand what was going on. Are we really able to see around us? Are we really able to see people around us? Not for what they can do for us, but for who they are. That chance encounter that Jesus had when he watched that woman impacted Jesus and impacted the disciples because he used it as a way of teaching them. This lady went down in history. Are we able to see opportunities to impact someone's story? That's why I wanted Lou to share earlier, before Maya got too grumpy. Actually, she had a chance encounter, and God did something. Hopefully, you never know. We don't know where those conversations go. What do we do with those chance encounters? Are we head down, task in hand, or are we head up, watching to see where God might be leading us? I was down in London on Tuesday morning with Trevor and Diana at an evangelism contest conference, and a really interesting American guy was talking about some of these interactions, and he says how, I don't know if you're going to use this, Trevor, I'm sorry if I steal some of your illustrations, but he talked about the alphabet in our interactions with people, that some people are A, they don't know anything about God, they're not interested. And some people are, he was an American, he said Z, but Z, right at the end, that actually they're nearly at a point of commitment, nearly there. And we might find people all sorts of along the way. We might have interactions with people, so the person at the railway crossing might be A, might not be have any idea. But his concept was, are we able to move people along? So someone was an A, but we have an interaction, we watch out, and actually we've said something, we've challenged them, that makes, oh, okay, they might think a bit differently. And his idea was that there's very few, he did some research, there's very few times when actually it requires us to take someone through the whole gospel message and lead them to Christ there and then. He said that doesn't often happen. Most of the times it's little conversations, relationships, built of trust that lead people along that alphabet. And I thought it was a really interesting way of thinking about it. Who do we interact? If we're not watching, actually we might miss an opportunity for someone who's just started to think about something, and we say something that moves them on in their faith journey. When we talk about evangelism, we're not talking necessarily about big stuff. We're talking about little stuff, little conversations. Are you watching for those conversations? If you're doing the Talking Jesus course, I apologize, I'm going to show one of the videos. So if you've already watched it, sorry. If you haven't watched it already, I'm going to spoil it for you. Don't spoil it for those who aren't here, because there's a little nice parable. It's a parable about how some of our stories are interconnected. And I thought it was so good that I'd like the whole church, whoever's gathered here this morning, to hear it as well. So, Lorraine, can we just play the video?
Afternoon, pal. It's a lovely day, isn't it? Never fails to inspire. The view.
My father used to bring me here when I was a boy. I would catch crabs in the rock pools. Sometimes I caught so many, my bucket couldn't hold them all. I remember being truly happy in this place. I wanted to see it one last time.
Why are you sort of moving away, pal?
Yeah.
Well, I hope it's somewhere nice.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah, sure.
Why do you appreciate this? Why?
Well, why?
What purpose is there to you, to me, to all this?
I don't know. It depends on your perspective, really, doesn't it?
Perspective?
Oh, sorry, mate. He's got a mind of his own. Do you want to walk?
We talked about purpose, faith, and whether or not this fleeting life is all there is. And I have never forgotten this conversation.
Oh, personally, I think it depends what you believe. You know, if you believe that this life and the world that we live in is just a cosmic accident, and there's nothing to follow when you die, then... No. Can't see how there can be any meaningful purpose for anything at all, then. Come on, boy. If you believe that there's something more to come, that our actions extend beyond this life to serve, like, a higher purpose, you know, something more eternal. Well, I think that changes everything, then. Don't you think?
The simplicity and depth of this young man's words planted a seed that grew and ultimately ended up transforming my entire outlook on my life. His certainty of God affected me deeply.
He's a lovely dog.
Yeah, he is. He's a little gem. A little bit scruffy, but... Hey, boy. Port.
Hey, Joe.
Good to see you, my friend.
How are you? Oh, you look
well.
See you, yeah.
Looking well. Oh. Smell good, too. What are you reading this week, anyway?
Whoa. Klaus Telemann. The Road to Success. Reading, actually.
Oh.
It's an autobiography. Road to Success. Wealthy.
When standing on a coastal path, about to leap off and end my immensely privileged life.
Have you heard of him, yeah?
A young man walking his dog stopped and spoke with me.
His certainty of God affected me deeply. I owe this young man a great debt, and because of the work it inspired me to embark upon since, many others do also.
of a big conversation, isn't it? That's a big conversation. And if, like you, after that, we're all Googling if the guy was real or not on our phones, and it's not. It's just a story. It's not real life. But there's that chance encounter, isn't there? And I wonder, I'd like us just to reflect, and it's one of the questions if you're doing Talking Jesus, but I don't think it matters if you do it here and do it in your small group. But who was part of your story? Who was part of your story? Is there someone who impacted your journey to faith and had that or that person? You know, there we have that interaction on the beach where it drastically turned that person's life around. Maybe it was a conversation. Maybe it was through family. For me, it was a lady called Marcia Haywood. She was my math teacher in secondary school. She spoke to me, and we started a little Bible study, and that was the person who started me on my journey. I think about Marcia a lot over the years, but she's the key person in that jigsaw puzzle or that journey of faith. Maybe you have a key person. I'd love for you, if you feel comfortable, just to turn to the person next to you and share who that person is or what that situation is. Could we do that? Does everyone feel totally uncomfortable? No, let's go for it. Let's give it. Give it a go. Who was that person? So put your hands up if it was a total stranger, someone you'd never met before. Put your hands up if it was a friend. Keep your hands up and put your hands up if it was a family member or someone close to you. Yeah, okay, that's really interesting, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, so no one maybe, Paul, was a total stranger, but everyone else, it was someone they knew. Yeah, a friend that they have, someone that they had interactions with. The challenge I think we have and the connection with this passage is that watching bit. Are we watching people? And there, I like that story on, I know it's an extreme encounter on Beachy Head, but when I watched it, it was interesting. That I don't know if you saw, the dog pulled him away. And when I first watched it, I thought, that's it, he's going to go and miss the chance. Yeah, and I thought, maybe there's times in my life where someone's been talking to someone and something's distracted me and I've gone and I've not shared anything or talked about anything. And I've just gone on busy. It's the kids or something's distracted me. And that dog moved and then he said, do you want to come with me? And I thought there was something really challenging in that. How many times is the distraction happened and we say, oh, sorry, see you later, rather than, oh, well, I'll give you my number. And that's what Lou was challenging, isn't it? Take my number and maybe you'll call me and we can journey together. And that's what that man did with the old man. I saw something really powerful in that image of watching, being willing, heads up, and then moving with someone and journeying with someone. The other thought is that Jesus saw someone doing the right thing. That widow was doing a good thing. She was doing the right thing. He saw that as an opportunity to reflect. She's doing something good, he used that as a teaching tool along the way. There's a call for us to be positive with our interactions with others. It's called, the guy on Tuesday called it positive evangelism. And I guess you could think of negative evangelism, couldn't you? It's about, you know, questions about what happens when you die or, you know, and you know where you're going. So negative things rather than positive things. And Jesus saw, and often if you look through the Gospels, he sees people doing good for the wrong motives maybe. And says, well, you're doing this, but actually this is important. And I wonder with our interactions with others, are there opportunities to see joy and good stuff and say, oh, well, that's good, but did you know? So I was thinking of positive things. So kids are an example, isn't it? You see someone loving their kid and it's like, oh, well, that says something about God's love for us, doesn't it? Yeah, or maybe someone's running a race. We did the Shelford Fun Run, didn't we? Yeah, and we use that as an example of saying, do you know what, life can feel a bit like a race. Yeah, and we might put our energies in and then something goes wrong. And maybe we have other opportunities in our life to see good things around us and say, oh, well, do you know what? That says something about God's love for us. We see it all the time. General revelation, it's called. Stuff that we see around us and say, actually, are there something of God in that? Just ways that we might connect with other people. Seeing good things that God has created in us as a way of being able to share something of his love for us. I want to leave us with two prayers and thoughts, really. I want to encourage us to be active watchers and then positive listeners. Actively watching around us and then positively listening. On Tuesday, the guide made us do a listening exercise. And I don't know if you've ever done listening exercises. It's quite a challenge because most of us treat conversation as a way of just unloading on other people. But actually listening is looking at someone, hearing what they've said, not treating as an opportunity to talk about yourself, but listening and talking. And I think if we have our heads up and if we listen to people, I think we'd be astounded by how many of those little conversations we might have in a week. And I can think of times, even this week, maybe I've missed an opportunity or I've made the most of an opportunity. If I have a couple in a week, if we all have a couple in a week, you know, that's a couple of hundred conversations. That's quite amazing, isn't it? But if our head's down and we're on transmit, then I think we'll miss those opportunities. And I don't think it's stretching it with this passage. And exegetically, you might think, oh, he's stretching it a little bit, isn't he? But Jesus watched people and he listened to people. He did it all the time. And when Jesus watched, he didn't just see what they were doing, he saw their heart as well, didn't he? Not just their actions, but saw their hearts. Are we good watchers and good listeners? I'm going to leave that with a challenge, because as we think about how do we reach out from here, how do we share our faith in the community, we want to equip each other to do that. And I don't think it's a case that we all need to go around just getting everyone to Alpha, although that's part of the conversation. But are we watching and are we listening? And I want to challenge you, whether you're doing Talking Jesus in your small group or you're not, you know, are there opportunities this week where previously you might have just got your head down and got on with the task, that you can get your head up, watch and listen? I'd like to pray for us. Look, as we talk about evangelism more as a church, it can feel, ugh, do I really want to talk about that? Do I really want to do that? I pray you'd help us as a team to think of creative ways that we can engage, inspire each other. But it's not a corporate activity. It's an individual activity as well. We don't want to employ Diana to do evangelism. We want to do evangelism ourselves. So I pray for those one or two conversations we might have in a week, that we won't get distracted, that we'll have our heads up and we will listen. And maybe we think of conversations even over the last few weeks that we've missed and we thought, oh, maybe we could do that. Then let's be praying about opportunities again, that God might lead us again to those conversations, and that we might move someone on in their faith from an A to a B or a D to an E. We'll have conversations that we'll never know in God's economy what comes of it. Oh Lord God, inspire us and enable us to be good watchers and listeners. Amen.